Join us today for Saints and Sinners, as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and my good friend, Father Douglas McKay. Hello, Father.
Hello, Ken, and hello to all of our listeners out there in Radio Land.
Yeah, we want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your prayerful and financial contributions that have kept us on the air for over 40 years. We can't thank you enough, and one of the ways you can help us out financially is coming up in a couple of weeks now on Monday, October the 14th. We'll have our annual golf outing. It'll take place at Talamore Country Club in Ambler, Pennsylvania. You can get all the details on our website at inhissign.com. Scroll to the bottom of the homepage, and there's a link there to download a flyer with information on how to register to play golf. You can come just for dinner. There will be a silent auction that night, but it's always a great day. Somehow or other, Kathleen always manages to get wonderful weather. We'll have lunch before we play golf, dinner after, great fellowship, and again, raise much-needed funds for this great radio apostolate. Along those lines, we need additional sponsors. There's various sponsorship opportunities, and those can be found on that flyer as well. Again, go to our homepage and go to the bottom, and you'll see the link there to download the information. Reminder, if you want the highlights from the Wednesday shows, you can subscribe to my Substack at notsaintsyet.substack.com. And I send out the links usually by noontime on Thursday. All the recordings of all our shows, usually uploaded by noon on Thursday as well, can be found on our website, inhissign.com. Click on content and then podcasts, and you'll find them there. Let's see. Our Matt Talbot Shrine is open on Tuesdays and Thursdays in St. Gabriel's Church in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. They have 8:30 daily mass, and then the church remains open until about 4:30 on both days. You can stop down and pay Matt Talbot a visit there in the shrine. Next Tuesday, that'll be the 17th of September. It'll be the third Tuesday of the month, so we have our Matt Talbot Holy Hour and Mass in St. Gabriel's Church. Things get underway at 6 o'clock with prayer and adoration. Father McKay and usually one or two other priests are on hand to hear confessions during the hour. And then at 7 o'clock we celebrate Mass. And that Mass is offered for those that are in recovery, those that still struggle in active addiction, and their friends and family who love them. So everybody is more than welcome to come and join us on those third Tuesdays. And again, that'll be next Tuesday the 17th, St. Gabriel Church, 6 o'clock p.m. Tomorrow night, that'll be September the 12th at 7 o'clock p.m. at Malvern. It's the monthly gathering of the Knights of Immaculata Village. They'll meet at 7 o'clock in the Carlo Acutis Shrine. They offer the rosary, a talk by Brian Gale normally, and then followed by Mass. So all are more than welcome to come for that as well. Two retreats coming up. This coming weekend is that Matt Talbot Women's Retreat. I believe there's still beds available. If you or someone you know who's female and in recovery, I encourage you to inquire about this retreat. You can call the retreat house at 610-644-0400. That's 610-644-0400. Or register online at malvernretreat.com. And also this weekend at Malvern on Sunday will be the monthly Calyx meeting. It takes place on the third Sunday of the month. They'll have 4 o'clock Mass in St. Joe's Hall, followed by refreshments and then a Calyx meeting. So, again, lots of stuff going on, plenty of opportunities, especially for those that are in recovery in order to grow deeper in your faith. Let's begin with prayer. In the name of the Father. Yo.
Yeah, before we begin with prayer, maybe just mention the names that we're praying for, too. got a call from Captain Lou that Jamie Roman died last night, the officer that we've been praying for.
Right.
For the intercession of Venerable Matt Talbot, but also for all the police officers. And today, 9/11, all the officers and firefighters, all the people lost their lives there at 9/11. But also for the sick that we know, Kathleen, Frank's sister, Jingles. I still didn't hear anything about him yet. I hope he's okay. And for all the sick and suffering that we know and all of our listeners who have their loved ones who are sick and suffering, perhaps dying, bring them all into prayer now. Take care.
Very good. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
And the following is a prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee, and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Maximilian Kolbe.
Pray for us.
St. Louis and St. Therese, St. Teresa of Calcutta.
Pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels.
Pray for us.
And all the saints and angels.
Pray for us.
And may the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. All right, this is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join in the conversation. The numbers are 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Or call us toll-free at 888-343-2484. We are currently in the 23rd week in Ordinary Time, and a handful of saints in the liturgical calendar on Sunday the 8th. Was the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary, so happy birthday, Blessed Mother. On Monday the 9th, it was St. Peter Claver, priest. Tomorrow the 12th will be the Most Holy Name of Mary. On Friday the 13th, I didn't realize it was going to be Friday the 13th this week, St. John Chrysostom, Bishop and Doctor of the Church. And Saturday the 14th, the Exaltation of the Holy Cross. We have a couple of saints that we weren't able to get to, not because we didn't want to, just the way the cards played. And so we're going to go back in the calendar a little bit to St. Louis of France from August 25th. And in the second half of the show, we'll try to get to St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta.
You know, one of the things, Ken, the saints, you know, our brothers and sisters, the inspiration that they really give us just about the presence of God, that they were always focused on God. They always had their eyes on God. You know, once they became high up in that mystical state, you know, they were so aware of the Lord. And they take those promises, marry the word of God, you know. And I was thinking of the last words of the Gospel of Matthew. I am with you always until the end of the world. And very often when bad things happen, we say, where's God? Where's God? Where's God? And he's always right there. You know, he's there. You know, when somebody dies, he's at the door with the coffee and donuts. He's there on the texts, on the telephone calls, the visits to help us through the tragedies of life. But I was just thinking of like 9/11, Ken, before we get into the saints. And it's like, gosh, you know, the tragedy of 9/11 and all the souls that perished there. And, you know, the question, where's God? You know, where's God in all of this? And I thought about, you know, the buildings, they came straight down. They didn't go sideways. And, you know, it was a point that evil had parameters. It was like the Lord saying with Job, with the ocean, this far and no farther, that he only let evil so far. And it was a tremendous but good always follows from evil. But what we've always been saying in our prayer meetings, Ken, and in our Calyx meetings, in, you know, the presence of God, and thank Him for everything, because He's in everything. And I just wanted to read that poem, you know, Meet Me in the Stairwell, to just bring home that point that God's always with us, and He has the last word in all things. And it's by Jessica Reedy, who writes this. Meet me in the stairwell, and this is God speaking. You say you will never forget where you were when you heard the news on September 11th, 2001. Neither will I. I was on the 110th floor in a smoke-filled room with a man who called his wife to say goodbye. I held his fingers steady as he dialed. I gave him the peace to say, honey, I'm not going to make it, but it is okay. I am ready to go. I was with his wife when he called as she fed breakfast to their children. I held her up as she tried to understand his words and as she realized he wasn't coming home that night. I was in the stairwell, the 23rd floor, when a woman cried out to me for help. I've been knocking on the door of your heart for 50 years, I said. Of course I will show you the way home. Only believe on me now. I was at the base of the building with the priest ministering to the injured and devastated souls. I took him home to tend to his flock in heaven. He heard my voice and answered. I was on all four of those planes in every seat with every prayer. I was with the crew as they were overtaken. I was in every heart of the believers there, comforting and assuring them that their faith has saved them. I was in Texas, Kansas, London. I was standing next to you when you heard the terrible news. Did you sense me? I want you to know that I saw every face, I knew every name, though not all know me. Some met me for the first time on the 86th floor. Some sought me with their last breath. Some couldn't hear me calling to them through the smoke and flames. Come to me, this way, take my hand. Some chose for the final time to ignore me, but I was there. I did not place you in the tower that day. You may not know why, but I do. However, if you were there in that explosive moment in time, would you have reached for me? September 11, 2001 was not the end of the journey for you, but someday your journey will end, and I will be there for you as well. Seek me now while I may be found, and that at any moment you know you are ready to go, and I will be in the stairwell of your final moments. Sincerely yours, always with you, God. I just had to read that, Ken.
Yeah, beautiful. No, it's hard to believe it was 20.
It's always with us.
Yeah, hard to believe it was 23 years ago already. It seems like yesterday. Sitting in my cubicle when I was working at Vanguard, and we were talking about it last night, and everybody was trying to watch it on their computers, and it kind of sapped the network, and so a lot of people's screens were frozen, and people were kind of milling around trying to find somebody whose video was actually working and watching the news. And so, yeah, we pray for all those that lost their lives, but especially for those that were left behind that, may still be struggling as a result of that day. So anyway, on to St. Louis. We celebrated his feast day back on August the 25th. He was born on April the 25th in the year 1214. He would die on August the 25th. In the year 1270, he was actually Louis the Ninth, King of France, and he took his role as king seriously and definitely in light of his faith. Apparently, there had been quite a bit of violence with a couple of the kings before him, and he sought to bring about peace and justice, which he did. Before that, he would fight in the Crusades when he was 30 years old. His army went to Damietta in Egypt, and they seized the town, but they would get sick, especially with dysentery, would eventually be surrounded and captured, and Louis would obtain the release of the army by returning the city back to the Egyptians, and then he would stay in Syria for 4 years after that. He gets credit for extended justice and civil administration. Regulations for royal officials became the first of a series of reform laws that he implemented. And he replaced trial by battle with a form of examination of witnesses, which is pretty interesting. Lewis was always respectful of the papacy, and he defended royal interests against the popes and refused to acknowledge Innocent the Fourth's sentence against Emperor Frederick II. So while a faithful Catholic, he did have his disagreements with the papacy. Definitely devoted to his people. He founded hospitals. He would visit the sick. And his patron was St. Francis. He's the patron of the secular Franciscan order, one of them. And he would even care for people with leprosy. As you know, the story of St. Francis goes, it was meeting up with a leper for him that was life-changing. Louis united France, lords and townsfolk, peasants and priests and knights, just because of his personality, but more importantly, because of his holiness. Every day, Louis had 13 special guests from among the poor to eat with him, and a large number of poor were served meals near the palace. And then he would do even more during Advent and Lent, where anybody that showed up for a meal, not only would they get a meal, but Louis would often serve them in person. So he took care of some needy people. He regularly kept lists of who they were and would make sure that they were taken care of. There were additional Muslim advances during his role as king, and he would lead another crusade to North Africa in 1270. And within a month of landing at Carthage, his army was decimated by disease, and Louis himself would die there at the age of 56, and he would be canonized 27 years later in 1297. That's St. Louis the Ninth, whose feast day we celebrate on August the 25th. Father?
Yeah. I was just thinking, I mean, just what a leader, a king at that. I mean, just suppose all leaders after him were like him. We would have heaven on earth. But here, 11 children, can 5 sons and 6 daughters. He built churches, monasteries, places of worship. As you said, he fed the poor. He visited the poor in the streets. He went into the hospitals to visit the sick. He went into the prisons. And even Thomas Aquinas, he would invite to his table. He was always serving, always loved being with people like monks and holy people, because it seemed to roll off of them onto him. But 11 kids, and yet he did all this, and every day, you know, he prayed with his children daily. He was present to them. He was teaching them, you know, about the faith. He was, 11 years old when his father died, and his mother Blanche was his advisor until he was 20, and then he becomes king. And it's just all, you know, he's married to Margaret, and they're all spiritual people. You know, they were imbued with the principles of Christian life. And, you know, by the example of Louis and Margaret, Louis's mother Blanche, you know, the kids are brought up really beautiful. And he said this to his kids. I can quote this. He said, "I'd rather see you dead at my feet than to commit one mortal sin." And all this that he did, where did he get this energy, this zeal from? And that was his zeal. His zeal was for the glory of God and for the good of his subjects. So where did he get all the stamina from? It was from his spiritual life. 2 masses a day, Ken. He went to 2 masses a day. I mean, he found time to go to 2 masses a day. He went to confession 2 and 3 times a week. He would spend hours, you know, in prayer, morning prayer and night prayer. He did the divine office daily. He did penances. You know, this is where he got to know Jesus Christ. It was like, "I no longer live, but Christ is living in me." It's like he lost his life and found his life in Jesus. And he was able to do so much because of his prayer life. I always think that St. Anthony says, if you're too busy to pray, then you're just too busy. What are our priorities? Watching television at night or going to God? Who are we loving the most, our TVs or our God? And here, that was his priority, come to God. And God touched his heart. And he was just on fire. And he can go all throughout his kingdom, just bringing the presence of Jesus to everyone. But how he loved his children, you know, all the time for the children. He wrote this instruction to one of his sons. He wrote, "My first instruction is that you should love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your strength. And without this, there is no salvation. Keep yourself from everything that displeases God. If the Lord has permitted you to have some trial, bear it willingly with gratitude, considering that it has happened for your good. Be kind-hearted to the poor, the unfortunate, and the afflicted. Give them as much help and consolation as you can. Be just to your subjects. Be devout and obedient to our mother, the church, and work to remove all sin from your land." I mean, that's just amazing. And even like church, you know, his mind was always on God. He was always focused on God. He had this little quote. He says, "In church, be careful not to let your eyes wander and not to speak empty words while you're in church. Your focus is on God, that we look at God." But yes, such a humble soul. He did all that, you know. What was his priority? It was God. It was glorifying God. That was his priority. What are our priorities? We have to ask ourselves that. What are we doing at night? What are we doing in the morning? How much are we loving God? Are we loving him whole heart, mind, body, and soul, like that first commandment? Are we loving our neighbor as ourselves? Well, the only way we can do that is first to receive God's love in our hearts, his graces, and then I can do it all, because it's no longer I, but it's Christ living in me and through me and with me. But, these beautiful saints, they teach us so much that we can do it. And you're right, you know, about the enemies that were always threatening and attack. He said this about the barbarians coming in. He said, what do we have to fear? The attack, King Louis said. That if we win, we conquer. If we lose, we become martyrs. That, you know, it's an all-win situation. If we're with God, it's whatever his will is. And his will is the very best for us. But yes, he died on a Sunday at 3 p.m. after receiving the sacraments. And these were his last words. And, you know, last words, probably his first words during the day and all throughout the day. But his last words at 3 p.m. Sunday, at the hour when Jesus drew his last breath. These were the last words, just like Jesus. "Into thy hands I commend my soul." Immediately after that, he breathed his last. He was always commending his soul into the hands of God. He had that special intimacy with the Lord. He had a pure, pure heart. By the way, he never tolerated profanity or vulgarity. Never would. You know, that he was too sensitive to the presence of God. His heart was always, always pure. He never, ever uttered a foul word. He was always there in the presence of God, serving him wholeheartedly with his mind, all of his strength, that love, that zeal that he received from his prayer life, from his deep prayer life, from the sacraments, from going to confession, by doing the divine office from his heart, and by spending several hours a day in prayer. He often would just go away into the monasteries just to be alone, like just to retreat, just to refresh himself and rekindle his heart with the presence of God. But there again, Ken, if he can do it and all these saints did it, they're our brothers and sisters. They root for us, you know. But what is it that we really want? God wants us with his whole heart, mind, and soul. How much do we want God? Oh, we want him, okay. But do we want him with our whole heart, mind, and soul? This story just comes to mind. I'll just end with this. Story about, and I probably heard me say this, Ken, you probably heard my story so many times, but this story was little Johnny. On his birthday, he would always get the newest toy in the market, and he waited for the postman to come, and all of his friends would be there to see what the newest toy was. And of course, he would open up, it'd be the newest toy, and everybody would have a thrill about the newest toy on the market. But little Johnny was getting older, and his Aunt Rose, who sent him the toys. But, you know, Johnny's a little older now. I'm going to send him something special, something different. So it came his birthday this one year as he got older. and all his friends were there waiting for the postman, and the postman comes, and he opens up the gift, and it's a sweater. It's a beautiful sweater. And all the kids go away kind of disappointed. And he sits down to write his thank you note to his Aunt Rose, and he writes, "Dear Aunt Rose, thank you very much for the beautiful sweater in honor of my birthday. It's what I always wanted, but not very much." You see, Ken, we want God, but sometimes we don't want him very much. We want his toys. We want his things. We want his clothes. We want his pleasures. We want his gifts. But to want him who wants us wholeheartedly, that's the way Lewis and all the saints wanted God. God first and foremost. That's where their hearts were. They love God with their whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, and their neighbor as their self, and God revealed himself to them, and they got deeper and deeper in love with God. Not the things of God, but with God himself.
Amen. And, you know, they mentioned a little while ago about how busy Lewis was, and I think sometimes, you know, we think that we can't do anymore, and I know in my own life that I've done similar things where I just can't think I can do any more. And somehow or other, God seems to be able to remove the barriers, usually the ones that we put up. God doesn't put them up. We put them up and don't think that we can do things. But if God wants it done, he'll remove all those barriers. He'll give us everything that we need in order to make that happen. And that's been my own experience. I mean, just being here on Wednesdays for the last, I don't know, was it 9 years or whatever it's been now, you know, it's something I never would have thought of doing or had the time to do, and yet God saw fit to make it happen. And so, you know, in our own lives, everybody's lives, I think we need to discern what it is that God really wants us to do and then set out to do it. And if God wants it done, he'll remove those barriers. And the opposite's true as well. You may think God wants you to do something, and if the barriers come up and you can't seem to get to it, whether it's time or resources, you know, maybe God really doesn't want you to do it, or at least not yet. So I want to give out the phone numbers one more time. We're going to take a break here in a minute, and when we come back, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. If God's touched you in a particular way in the last couple of weeks, and you want to share it with our listeners, we'd love to have you call. The numbers are 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or call toll-free at 888-343-2484. We got a couple of minutes before the break, Father. I want to go ahead and get Bob before we go to the break. Hello, Bob.
Hello.
How are you, brother?
Very good.
All the way from Fruitland Park, Florida. How you doing?
Exactly. With fantastic reception here. It's
yeah.
Like you're sitting in the room with me.
Very good. What's going on?
Well, I was calling for a different reason, but then hearing about, you know, St. Louis, what an amazing person. You know, and it's like my saint that I've always been most jealous of was the good thief, because, you know, this day you shall be with me in paradise. You know he's in heaven. Well, oh my goodness. You know, he just received the sacraments, and you know that he was, you know, he was canonized 27 years after he died. He could have been canonized 22 seconds after he died.
Mm.
Wow, because humility. I mean, he had all the reasons in the world to be proud of his accomplishments, but humility, wow. I mean, that's really Christ-like humility, because those kings, they thought they ruled by divine, you know, like, sanction, and they ended up thinking they were divine. I mean, I'm humble, but I have reason to be humble. I mean, that's amazing humility. I mean, and, you know, I've learned that the virtues give you freedom. The more you practice a virtue, the more free you are. And it's just amazing. I was very, very much impressed by that story. That was amazing. Yeah.
Ah, very good. Everything else is good?
Yeah. I just wanted to do a Philadelphia connection to 9/11. Philadelphia was the alternate target, you know, say after the first plane hit, if they had intervened and prevented the second plane, he was ordered to go to Philadelphia and hit Liberty One, that mirrored glass building in Center City.
Yeah.
And the other odd but God, just by namesake, the chaplain who died in the towers was named Father Judge.
Yeah, how about that? Odd or God?
Not a god. But, yeah, that was an amazing story about St. Louis.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, there was that joke. If you looked up the word humility in the dictionary, there should be a picture of him there.
There you go.
Amazing.
Yeah. We're at the bottom of the hour. Father, you got to...
Humility, Bob, thank you for saying that, because it's giving God permission to act. That's what saints do. Oh. It's God acting through them. But one of the things you mentioned, Father Michael Judge, and I always think of that prayer he says, you know, Lord, take me to where you want me to be. Let me meet who you want me to meet. Tell me what to say and keep me out of the way. That's a beautiful prayer. I often think of that when I come to a conference, you know. These are the people you want me to meet. This is, you know, what you want me to say. Keep me out of the way. Go ahead, Lord. Speak through me. Let my heart be humble. I give you permission. Just speak through me. You touch the hearts. And that last thing, Ken, I just want to say again. I said it last night. St. Augustine, the preacher, the teacher, he sets the table with food, but it's the Lord himself who feeds the souls. That's really liberating. That's his responsibility. My responsibility is just to proclaim the gospel. The Lord is the one who touches and transforms and changes the souls. How beautiful. But humility, yes, it's letting God act, letting God touch the souls and getting out of the way, like Father Judge did. All right. Thanks.
All right. Thanks for the call, Bob. Appreciate it, pal.
All right. Take care.
Yep, you too. We've reached the bottom of the hour, so we're going to take a short break. But we want your calls for that Is That Odd or Is That God segment, 610-527-2906. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Linda Purcell. I listen to In His Sign Catholic Radio every chance I get. Kathleen convicts me with the words of our Lord. Kathleen lives in His love, and for me, just the opportunity to listen to her is my road to Emmaus. My heart is burning for our Lord Jesus. I am set on fire each time I tune in to In His Sign Catholic Radio. Why don't you give it a try, too?
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and Father Douglas Michael McKay. Both phone lines are still open. The number's 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or toll-free 888-343-2484. We want a quick rundown on the Calix units here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. The Calix Society is a great organization for Catholics and 12-step programs, where our motto is, "We substitute the cup that sanctifies for the cup that stupefies." Father McKay and I and a whole bunch of others get together every Tuesday in the Grace Ferry neighborhood in South Philadelphia. Most Tuesdays we're in our Matt Talbot Chapel at the corner of 29th and Dickinson. Next Tuesday, however, is the third Tuesday of the month, so we will be over in St. Gabriel's Church. We'll have a holy hour from 6 to 7, during which we'll have adoration and confessions will be heard, and then Mass at 7 o'clock. The unit at Queen of the Universe in Levittown meets on the first and third Thursday of the month at 7 o'clock p.m. in the Parish Center. Their next meeting will be on Thursday, September the 19th. The Glenside unit at my home parish of St. Luke the Evangelist meets on the third Saturday of the month. We join the parish for 8:30 Mass in the morning, followed by a Calyx meeting, and we will be meeting on Saturday, September the 21st. The unit at the Malvern Retreat House meets on the third Sunday of the month. They have Mass at 4 o'clock in St. Joe's Hall, followed by refreshments and then a meeting. They will be getting together this coming Sunday, September the 15th. So this month, the third Sunday actually comes before the third Saturday. The unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield meets on the last Saturday of the month, beginning with the 4 o'clock Vigil Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting. They'll meet next on Saturday, September the 28th. And in nearby Wilmington, Delaware, a Calyx unit meets every Wednesday at St. Matthew's. They have Mass at 6:15 p.m., followed by a Calyx meeting. And I'm going to be joined in a 5 o'clock hour today by Daniel O'Connor. It's been almost 3 years since I first had Daniel on. He's been on a few times in between. And we'll be talking about a book he put out earlier this year entitled Only Man is in His Image. And we'll be talking about AI and extraterrestrials and the whole bit. So you're going to want to stick around the 5 o'clock hour today. And I think that's it in terms of announcements. So we do have a caller. We're going to go to Frank. Hello, Frank.
Hey, Ken. How you doing? Hey, Father Doug.
Hey, brother, how are you?
Okay, first I want to say thank you to everyone in Inside Network to pray for Officer Jamie Roman the last 2.5 months.
Yeah.
And thank you. And also for everyone from September 11th, 2001, all the victims.
Yeah.
And also, I had a Bobby in Florida.
Bobby!
Hey, Ken.
Yes, sir.
I heard this yesterday. Is it true? Have you been holding out on us? I heard you're a descendant or an heir of the famous Johnson & Johnson
pharmaceutical company. No.
Are you related to them?
Nope. I got a T in my name. Johnston. I got a T in my last name. Johnston, not Johnson. Sorry.
Oh.
No wealth here, brother.
Is that
all my wealth is
paying taxes or something?
All my wealth is stored up in heaven. I got nothing
Father
to
Doug.
Show in a bank account.
Father Doug, does Ken have short arms or something at the table all the time? Was he a cheapskate? You know,
there we go. I got a, I got a button here that I can cut you off.
Then you'll lose 50% of your callers, though.
Yeah. So, did you mention Officer Roman because you got the news?
I heard yesterday. I called Lou, Captain Lou, yesterday. He said, yeah, it's true. Well, I knew it was true, but I assume he was busy with the debate. He heard before I did because he's a captain. He knows everything.
I
heard about Doug say in the beginning, Captain Lou called him last night also.
Yep. Yes, sir.
It's a shame.
Yeah.
I mean, some dirtball. I mean, he'd be going home. His car was going to get towed. He asked him, what's up with the holster?
Yeah.
And then he shot him. That's it.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Well,
he was going to go home and mind his own business. He got panicky. It happens all the time because you don't know they're wanted for something.
Yeah.
But they know they're wanted for something, and they get jumpy.
Yeah. Now, unfortunately, it happens all too often anymore.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just Philadelphia. I mean, the whole country, just a lot of bad people out there, a lot of criminals. Not the illegals, I mean, our regular homegrown criminals.
Yeah.
I think that guy here, I think he had a record in Puerto Rico doing the same thing.
We pray for everybody involved. And especially for Jamie Roman. We offered Mass for him this morning in our chapel, Frank. So it's not too often you get a Mass said for you within 12 hours of your passing, or maybe it was a little bit longer.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Always good to hear from you, brother.
I say it all the time because I mean it all the time. I want to thank you and Father Doug. I forget when I first started listening to you guys. I was trying to get sober, but I couldn't. But I listened to the other guys every Wednesday. And ever since then, I never stopped. These guys are great, and you help a lot of people. Most people don't call in because they're too shy. But probably help at least 100 of me, maybe 1,000, who don't call in.
Yeah.
And just keep it up. You guys do a great job. Thank you very much.
Nah, thanks, Frank. Always good to hear from you, brother. You too.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
Bye-bye now.
Hello, Ken.
Huh?
Last week, Bob Doug was saying something, but I already hung up. Does he remember what question it was?
No. Not offhand.
Can't remember either.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. I'm
going.
Right.
You too.
Though, Frank. I know that. It was something good. I can't remember what.
Yeah. All good.
Next week and say, what did you say? So write it down, Ken.
Hey, we'll have to listen to the show again. That's all. Go out and listen to the recording. But, yeah, no, it's sometimes I think about it. I don't know how many shows we've done. If it's been 9.5 years, it's probably close to 9 times 50, close to 400 shows, if not more. So, yeah, good stuff.
Time flies,
bull of a sores. What's that?
That was good this morning that we can offer mass.
Yeah.
You know. And, you know, again, Ken, like we were saying, Matt Talbot fails us again, I keep saying, but the greatest miracle is going home. I think of some of the guys that died here. They said they were the Matt Talbot miracles because they were sober and sanctified when they left us.
Yeah.
But also, it's just, I really want to write the Pope and ask him to bypass the physical miracles. Maybe that's what God wants, all these moral miracles, you know. Thousands, if not millions, of people who stop drugging and stop drinking alcohol and get sober and back to God, back to the sacraments, back to the church, back with their families. They're the greatest miracles of all.
Amen.
And there's thousands and millions of these, you know. Needs to be recognized.
Yeah.
Those.
Well, you got to get that letter drafted. We'll look up every office over in the Vatican.
Somebody out there knows.
Yeah. Nah, we'll find a way to get it there. God will get it there.
But
Pope.
Being a missionary of mercy, I got a little in with him. I said, I'm your missionary of mercy.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, we got another caller on the line. We're going to go to Dave. Hello, Dave.
How you doing, Ken? It's Dave. How you doing, pal?
All right, brother. How are you?
Good. I told Pat I would call in, and so I'm fulfilling my wishes. Yeah. Tell Father, thank you very much. Everything. I'll tell you what. I just had to say I love your programming and the show, and the Calyx group is wonderful. It's helped me so much in my life. Every time I go to a meeting and talk with people like yourself, Bob, and all the other members, it's you know, I come home and it starts off my week really well. And I'm grateful for that. That's all the information that you guys provide. So.
No, and we're grateful to have you there. I'm yet to meet somebody that's come to Calyx and said that, you know, they didn't get anything out of it. It's usually the opposite. It's just what they've been looking for, especially if they've been in recovery for a while and they're maybe their spiritual life isn't what they want it to be or think it should be, and that's where. You know, we get in, and I just pass along what's been given to me. A lot of it's you know been part of that relationship with Father McKay for the last 15 years. But certainly, you know, the other priests and, you know, doing this show for 9 years, the people I get to interview in the 5 o'clock hour, I've learned a ton from over the years. I got to, you know, prep for those shows, read their, you know, some of their books, and it's just been a godsend in my life, and I'm thrilled to be able to pass it along and that there's actually people that are willing to listen. So you've been coming around for about a year now, right? If not longer?
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit longer. I missed a little bit for a while. My schedule changed, but I continued to come along. And I was at surgery for a while and was at a couple months. But, you know, and you do feel that vacancy when you don't come. And there's something about this, just that spirituality that we need and being, like Father said, I was tapped on the shoulder and, you know, being grateful for the faith that being a Catholic man and taking it for granted.
Yeah.
And now I'm just, you know, I can't get enough. And it's just wonderful thing.
No, I can tell just by the thickness of that book you've been lugging around. If there's a sign of dedication, that's it, brother. So,
that's great.
Yeah. So, thanks for being a part of. Father, you got a comment?
Thanks, Dave. You know, just talking to you last night after the meeting. It's like we had the meeting before the meeting after the meeting, and the meeting during the meeting. But you too, what you bring, you know, what everybody brings. When I hear all this, all of our faith sharing, it's like hearing Jesus speak through our hearts. And we enrich one another. I'm getting so much out of our meetings, you know, finding peace in the storm with St. Alphonsus Liguori and really growing in God's will, you know, and surrendering. That's the big word, surrendering to God's will and rejoicing in it. No matter what happens, just to believe and trust that he's going to bring something even more beautiful than we can even ask for or imagine, or he would never permit things to happen. So when we see evil, we can even thank him, not for the evil, but for the good that he's going to bring from the evil. But I just get so much out of the meetings, too, and I'm really blessed to be together, you know, all these years at our Catholic meetings and just sharing our Catholic faith. That's how we grow. We need one another. We're the body of Christ. We're the mystical body of Christ, and he speaks to our hearts through the hearts of one another. So I hear him in your heart, Dave. So thank you, and God bless you, too.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Ken.
All right, brother. We'll see you next week.
You got it. Take
all right.
Care.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Maybe tomorrow.
Yeah, okay. Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
All right.
Take
see
care.
You too. All right. Phone lines are clear, Father. You want to talk about Teresa Calcutta?
Yeah.
She was born on August the 26th in the year 1910, would die September the 5th, 1997, at the ripe old age of 87. She was born in Albania and was the youngest of three children who survived. Probably some miscarriages or children that had died early on, but three survived and she was the youngest. She went to public school but was involved in Catholic sodality. Her given name, by the way, was Agnes. At 18, she entered the Loreto Sisters of Dublin, and it was 1928 when she would say goodbye to her mother for the final time. The year after that, so 1929, she was sent to the Loreto Novitiate in Darjeeling, India. And it was really there that she would spend the rest of her life and eventually start her own order. She was assigned to a high school for girls in Calcutta, where she taught history and geography to the daughters of wealthy people. But being in that area, she would see the poverty, the suffering, and the overwhelming number of destitute people that were in that area. In 1946, when she was riding a train to make a retreat, she got her call within a call. And it was clear to her that she was to leave what she was doing with the Sisters of Loreto and help the poor while living among them. And so from that would become the Missionaries of Charity. And of course, she would be, you know, popular around the world. Would make trips around the world. Been to the White House. She spoke at the United Nations, and stood out for her, the work that she had done with the dying and the destitute. She would do that for four decades, and really, her love didn't know any bounds. She would do whatever she had to do in order to help those poor that she interacted with. And in 1979, she was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. On September the 5th, 1997, she went home to God, and she was canonized by Pope Francis on September the 4th in 2016. That's St. Teresa of Calcutta, whose feast day we celebrate here in America on September the 5th. Father?
You know, a reporter once asked her, when you see Jesus, what's he going to ask you? And she thought for a moment and she said, I believe he would ask me if I have been faithful. And she was a woman of faith.
You talked about it last night, Ken, about the dark night for all those years. She was going on high-octane faith. It was always faith. Yes, she did have that experience on that train ride about, you know, leaving everything and just helping the poor and living among them. She left. I mean, she went out on the limb. The fruit's out on the limb. She opened that trust fund in the Bank of Divine Providence. She went out. She didn't have a place to stay. The Loretta sisters didn't want to take her because she left them. So she stayed with the Little Sisters of the Poor. The founders, you know, never had a dollar when she started the Little Sisters of the Poor, St. John Chagan, who opened the trust fund in the Bank of Divine Providence. They never had a dollar. And here, you know, everything starts to fall into place. God touches hearts. She starts receiving things. Next thing you know, there's a house going up, another house. The vocations are coming in. She's spreading all over the world. Well, who's doing all that? You know, that's not Teresa of Calcutta or John Chagan or any other saint, or Teresa of Avila or John of the Cross. They just went out on the limb and did what God wanted them to do, and you saw everything happening. I mean, I'm thinking the same thing with the movie that we're raising funds for, Ken, for the movie for Matt Talbot. You know, we got to raise, what, $250,000, you know, but it's like this is God's work, you know. And you know, when you're working with souls, God rains down manna from heaven. If we're sacrificing, let me tell you want for nothing. One person can write that check for $250,000 and do it very simply. But there it is, you know. It's just that we're doing God's work here and discerning what God wants. Can you imagine that movie we have, Ken, Matt Talbot movie? Hmm. That's going to touch, you know, all these hearts. And I believe that even the Holy Father is going to get to see that film and really start to promote, you know, his cause even more so. But people will get to know him more and more. And we need a Matt Talbot today. You know, look at all those conversion stories. All those people stop drinking and drugging, come back to their family through this inspiration of Matt Talbot, who's... meetings was the Eucharist, Mass every day, confession, rosary, you know, adoration. There it is. This is what Matt Talbot, you know, and to bring that out into the light to the people with the film. But anyway, I didn't mean to go into the film, but yeah. I'm looking at Mother Teresa. She didn't have anything, but she was doing God's work. One soul is worth more to God the Father than the whole universe, and he will rain down and provide for all the needs. Just to have that trust fund and to trust God that he'll take care of all of our needs.
Yeah, as long as you mentioned the film, for those that are interested in the project, we have a website, and it was completely redone and uploaded last week. It's matttalbotfilm.com. That's matttalbotfilm.com. If you go out there, we've made a couple of videos, Father and I, with Bill Rose from Joyful Films, and we talk a bit about the project. But as Father mentioned, it's not cheap to put together a film these days, especially with the number of hours it requires, the equipment and what have you, especially the trip to Ireland in order to do some on-site filming. So if you can help us out, no amount's too small. Again, matttalbotfilm.com.
Yeah. Well, back to
Mother Teresa.
Calcutta.
Yeah.
You know, she was a woman of faith, Ken, and lived in faith, and even with that dark night, she had a tabernacle in her room. You know, that's amazing. You know, a rosary, a morning prayer, a night prayer, her adoration time. It's the same thing. That's where her faith was strengthened. That's what we go on, our faith, not our feelings. Feelings change all the time, but faith is constant. And that gets us through all the storms in life, all the difficulties, all the trials and all the tribulations. But that gift of faith that we all have, it's in our hearts with hope and love. We just have to open up those gifts and act upon them. You know, faith is not magic. You know, magic will act on you like abracadabra or presto, you know, and things happen because it acts on the thing. Well, that's not how faith works. I act on faith. Magic acts on a thing. Yeah. We act on our faith, and beautiful things begin to happen because faith unites us to our God, and God goes to work, and we give him permission. And we see so many conversion experiences. We see so many blessings, so much peace and joy, you know, faith as well.
Yeah.
But and Mother Teresa Calcutta, a woman of faith, that's what I get mostly out of her.
Yeah. When we, you know, were talking last night, and hell, everybody was surprised when her biography came out that She had been in desolation for as long as she had been. And you know, you talk about that faith that she had, that high octane faith, and that's a gift, you know. And for those of us that have it, you know, we really need to thank God for it, especially when things like 9/11 or other tragedies happen, whether it's, you know, in our personal lives, in a community, in a country, you know, to know that there's something greater out there and to know that God's going to bring about a greater good as a result. You know, we kind of saw it after 9/11 when the whole country kind of came together for at least a little while. And, you know, and I'm sure that there's other, you know, great stories out there of things that happened. We were talking earlier about Father Michael Judge and just the notoriety that he got. And we probably wouldn't have known anything about his life if he hadn't died in 9/11. And because he did, we got to learn that much more. So, but that gift of faith, you know, I can't thank God enough for it because it on a daily basis, that's what gets me through. And it doesn't mean that, you know, you just sit around and wait for God to give it to you. You know, you plead with God for faith. You know, ask him to give it to you and the means to help you to grow in faith. And, of course, with the Catholic Church, we've got all the means, whether it's going to Mass, the saints, various fellowships. You know, we have everything we need in order to grow in that faith and to accept that gift. But we got to do the footwork.
Yeah, 9/11 woke us up, but we didn't get out of bed.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, but, you know, when Mother Teresa went into the streets and she picked up bodies, she saw the suffering Christ, and they weren't even baptized. Just like Dismas, she wasn't even baptized on the cross. And yet that baptism of desire, you know, but that whole thing was that she saw the suffering Jesus there, and she would embrace him. And that was faith. You know, she had eyes of faith to see that. And one story that I, you know, wanted to get in was something with a Dr. Jampolsky. And they were in California, and the doctor was doing the paper on Mother Teresa. And he was trying to find out what really made her, what motivated her, what floated her boat, what was this in her that really moved her, like, you know, this peace that came across her face. And he's writing this paper on peace, and he says to Mother Teresa, he says, I know you're going to Mexico. Can I fly down to Mexico with you and finish my paper? Because I really think I'm on this, what your experience, this faith of yours, this peace of yours. I want to know about this peace. And she says, okay, you want to know about the peace? She said, find out how much it would cost to fly down from California to Mexico City and back again. Find out how much that would cost. And don't come with me. Take that money and give it to the poor, and you will know peace. I never forgot that story. Peace.
Amen.
It's all about peace.
That's right.
Gosh, you know, when we start giving of ourselves, we're united with him because he's the one that's giving through us. And then I experience this inner peace, this communion with God. And when I lose that peace, I know something's awry. I'm disturbed. And all I have to do is make a heart examination, get right back to the commandments and doing what God wants. And then he reveals his presence again with that beautiful peace, that faith, that joy, that love of his kind.
Amen. Well, Father, we got a minute left. So can we get your blessing, pal, before we have to let you go?
Yeah. In name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, we praise and thank you for the gift of life and the promise of eternal life and for always being with us. And just ask a special blessing upon Jamie's family and also all those still might be suffering from 9/11 relatives and all of our police officers as well and firefighters, Lord. All those who protect us from evil may be protected from evil, but bless us all those who suffer with addictions and all of our listeners who are listening, all the elderly who let them know they're never alone, for you are always, always with us. And may the Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And Mother Mary, Saint Joseph, all the angels and saints, Venerable Matt Talbot.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Father. We'll see you for
Thanks,
yeah, man. We'll see you for 8 o'clock Mass tomorrow morning. For our listeners, our 5 o'clock guest is already on the line, Daniel O'Connor. We'll get right to him when we come back from the break. Don't go away. Be right back.